This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand with Matt Rooney.
Some people get excited waiting for the Super Bowl to arrive. Other, it's Christmas morning. For me, Daniel, it's Election Day.
It's not November.
Primary day is still an Election Day. It counts. It counts, son.
I guess so. Not in Pennsylvania.
No, not in Pennsylvania. This year, the main event is in the Dirty Jurs. My home. The native land of the Matt Rooney Show. Here on 1210 WPHT.
Home to the worst drivers, too.
That is not true.
I think it is. But that's a topic for a different time.
No, I was behind a van with PA plates today that kept short stopping.
I mean, it's also a van. Anyone who drives a minivan... no offense to anyone who drives a minivan, but anyone who drives a RAV4, like some kind of a soccer mom van, then they are terrible drivers.
This was not a mom van. This was a, I have a puppy and free candy, do you want to get in kind of van.
Oh, this was like a carpenter white van.
Yeah, this was not a friendly looking vehicle.
You know, every time that they come up to me and offered me free candy, I was like, sure, and they never gave me the candy.
They always gave you back to your parents within a half an hour.
Yeah, and they always like, hey, I lost my dog. And I'm like, all right, what kind of dog? They can never tell me what kind of dog it is. So, like, I don't know, man. I think they're scams.
Even criminal predators can only take so much of your nonsense.
Yeah, I think they're scams, honestly.
Well,
I don't know if you ever experienced that, but I have.
No, I have not, Daniel. That's a you problem, my friend. That's a you problem, which we talk about, among other things, here on The Matt Rooney Show. Pleasure to have you all with us again for another episode. This is the grand finale of the primary season, 2025 primary election here on 1210. Of course, you can listen the old-fashioned ways. We air the program every Saturday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard, for those of you who live elsewhere across the Fruited Plains, on 1210. But of course, the Odyssey app is another option, and over on any channel that hosts podcasts, Spotify, Apple iTunes, yada, yada, yada. We always have fun, 2 hours of jam-packed information, and this year a lot of coverage of the election in New Jersey. Both parties are going to select their candidates on Tuesday, June 10th. The Republican primary is not considered super-duper competitive at the moment. The Democrat primary is. So as we speak, candidates are putting out their yard signs, their opponents are stealing those yard signs, mailers are flying, increasingly heated accusations are being lobbed at opponents. It is the silliest of silly seasons, and we're all here for it, because at the end of the day, as I tell you every single week and every single episode here of the Matt Rooney Show, the stakes could not be higher, not just for my home of New Jersey, but also for the country as a whole. So we're going to dig into that this evening and obviously do what we always do, which is touch on as many other storylines as we could possibly find the time to do. It ain't easy, but we do our best. And we're joined once again this week, 2 weeks in a row.
Yep, don't get used to it.
We're not getting used to it, by producer Dan Valdez.
I'm sure there'll be another week where I'm just like, oh, I'm gone.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll mosey off to some Gen Z preferred locale around the globe and take pictures of your food and
I'll throw one of those smoke bombs and then just wisp away like I'm Batman, you know? You'll never see me again.
Except you're so skinny, you only need like one little wisp of smoke. You don't really need a
cloud. I'll have you know, I've been doing 10 push-ups a night since last Thanksgiving.
10 push-ups a night.
Yep.
Oh my goodness.
We're going strong. 10 push-ups a night. I see a little change. Not a lot. So I might go from like 120 to like 121, but hey, change is change.
You pumping the iron, you picking up those 2 pound weights.
I mean, if you want to say two is a little too heavy, I usually like going like a pound.
A pound. Yeah, that sounds
about right. They're good. Pounds are right where I need them to be.
And most people, when they're lifting heavy weights, they crunch, right? We've all seen that, heard that at the gym.
I just cry.
For Dan, it's more like, eh.
I just cry.
Eh. And then a gentle sob.
Yeah.
In between.
It's more like what it sounds like.
I feel filthy.
Do that with your eyes closed.
It's amazing why Bella continues with this experiment. The lovely Bella Dan's paramour.
It's continued... past 2 years, so like she's been holding off for the past 2 years. So
are we past 2 years now?
Yeah, in May.
Do you guys do the whole dateversary thing?
What do you mean?
Well, so you have an anniversary when you're married, right? We're actually coming up on my anniversary.
Right.
Happy anniversary to the missus, FYI. I had to say that, make sure I got that in or I'd be in a little bit of trouble.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But for those that are not married, people commonly do dateversaries. It's a big millennial Gen Z thing where you commemorate the first day that you got together. Like, for example, when Bella was sentenced for whatever it is she did and was forced to community service, which was hanging out with you.
AKA when my mom started paying her.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Or that. There's different theories as to how this happens.
I mean, we only do like years. It's like we did something for a 1 year. We did something for a 2 year. So like, we don't really do the increments like the 3, 6, 12. I mean, 3 or 6, but years we usually do.
You've only had 2 years. That's what I'm saying. So
right, there's only been two. So we did something for a year. We did something for two.
For two. Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
We went to the Mooshaloo.
The Mooshaloo.
Yeah.
Look at you doing fancy historic things.
You could say I got that money. You know what I mean?
The money, is that what it is?
Yeah. Just call me a free bag. You know what I mean?
The Mooshaloo. That's a unique dining experience.
Yeah, it was a great place.
Right near the IKEA, right?
Yes, ish.
Stop off afterwards for some dessert, Swedish meatballs.
Yeah, no, dude.
Put together some furniture together.
Yeah, it was really good food, though. I recommend.
Yeah. No, I've actually always wanted to try that. I never have. For those that listen in our core listening area of the Del Valle, we're referring to that restaurant in Philly. I guess, what is that, South Philly? It's like Columbus Boulevard.
Yeah, Columbus Boulevard.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, recommended by Daniel. Now, granted, we're talking to someone who... has roughly the amount of mass of a grain of rice, maybe a small bag of rice. So I'm not really sure whether we can trust you to tell us what's good food, but
I mean, not really. I think like dinosaur chicken nuggets are really good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, let me
ask you a quick question. Let's get back on the ropes here. Let me ask you a quick question.
Okay.
Is it
your show? I'm just here.
Right. I mean, it's the Matt Rooney Show for a reason. Is it really election season if there's no one grabbing signs and vandalizing properties?
No. You know, Christmas time, we talk about carolers and baked cookies and little snowflakes in the air. Yeah, the political equivalent is people accusing each other of things they didn't do. And yeah, I mean, low-level vandalism, it's all part of the season.
Yeah.
There's no carols. Sometimes there's a jingle and an ad, but...
No, I mean, you got people putting tasers on their signs so they don't take them.
That's a thing.
That is a thing.
Oh, I haven't seen that. Jersey, they play pretty rough, but.
No, I think I saw it this past election when people had Trump signs. Someone like put an electric fence on it or whatever, or some kind of electricity that when someone stole it, it would zap them and they would run away.
Seriously?
Yeah. It got intense. I don't understand it. I don't understand why I need to go and grab someone's sign. But I guess that's just me.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's no different than walking up to somebody and grabbing, you know, an earring off them or something. Right. I mean, let someone express themselves the way they want to express it. As long as it's on their property.
Yeah. But
free speech, baby.
If you're going to grab someone's earrings, you got to be like, let me hold my earrings. You know what I mean? Like, you got to be like, let me hold your earrings.
Oh, yeah, you got to say it exactly like that.
Yeah, you got, I mean...
Everyone at home that's listening to this is nodding furiously. Oh, of course, Daniel.
You get into a fight at school, you're like, hold my extensions.
Every week we get a new character.
Yeah, that character has really big hoop earrings, like the Jersey Shore Sea Isle kind of, or Seaside, I guess.
Don't be throwing Sea Isle under the bus, man.
I'm sorry.
Sea Isle is not Seaside. Seaside is a whole... different species. What, they have like 70 arrests there Memorial Day weekend?
I don't know, but you know.
Well, the mayor up there, Tony Voss, just in case anybody was following that big story at the start of the summer, the fracas on the Seaside boardwalk. Seaside hasn't had a good reputation for a long time, but what a lot of people don't know is the mayor, Tony Voss, he's a Republican, but he's a true rhino, endorsed Phil Murphy back in 2021. We're going to try to replace him shortly. And then, after he endorsed Phil Murphy gets elected, Phil Murphy signs off on a law which dramatically weakens the ability of New Jersey police to, you know, remove rowdy teens from the boardwalk and from the beaches when they cause a problem. And then Tony Voss is crying about the violence in his hometown. Well, you know, you get what you pay for, right? And he lined up with Horsetooth. And now Seaside Heights is once again remembered for not its beautiful beaches or its amusements or any of the fun, cool things there, but for violence and a stereotype of New Jersey, which isn't fair.
But also, who was the one who decided all the Wildwood rules? Was that the Wildwood mayor?
The Wildwood rules? What do you mean the Wildwood rules?
Yeah, you don't know about the Wildwood rules? Like every kid has to have a chaperone. Like no, I guess no alcohol on the beach anymore. Like all kids are kicked off at a certain.
Well, you really can't have alcohol on the beach anywhere in New Jersey. Not that people don't still try it, but
I mean, you can find a way.
You can find a way.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be our next hour. Dan teaching children how to drink underage at the beach. But for now, we got a primary coming up on Tuesday. It's a biggie. Seaside Heights is just one of 16 billion examples of why we need a change in New Jersey. Let's talk to the guy who's the front runner for the Republican nomination, Jack Cittarelli, former assemblyman, businessman, candidate for governor, joins us here on the Matt Rooney Show on the other end of this first break. So pop some popcorn, get yourself something caffeinated, whatever you like to do, and stick right here with us on the other side of this commercial interruption. Don't go anywhere.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
Back as promised on the Matt Rooney Show. Remember, you can now get us via podcast, not just on the radio, wherever good podcasts can be found. Even Amazon UK. So if you're vacationing this summer, you can get us pretty much anywhere in the world, which I think is kind of cool, Dan.
I mean, UK, that's got a lot of people in the UK, I guess.
Got a lot of people, I think. So yeah. There you go, right? We're moving up in the world. Yeah. But we're laser focused on this side of the pond, especially through Tuesday, where the Republican and Democrat parties in New Jersey are going to select their respective nominees. Surprise, surprise, I'm a whole heck of a lot more interested in the Republican primary because we need to turn the state around. I started a website called Save Jersey back in 2008. We are still working on trying to save it. Could this be the year? Well, let's talk to the man who's the front runner for the Republican nomination. And in just a matter of days, we'll find out whether or not he's going to be the one to carry the banner forward into November. He's Jack Cittarelli, the party's 2021 nominee, former assemblyman, businessman, joining us here on the Matt Rooney Show. Mr. Cittarelli, thank you for making time. I know you're running all over the state.
No, it's all good, Matt, and I really appreciate you having me on.
Listen, you are one of the busiest people, even outside of an election cycle. No one puts more miles on their car than you do. Every day I check my social media feed, you're somewhere else. Where are you going to be over the final days of the campaign, starting Saturday forward?
We'll be making a number of stops all throughout Ocean County tomorrow, Matt, and we'll wrap the day up there. And then on Saturday, we'll begin the day in Cape May County. And we will work our way north, touching 8 different counties, trying to remind people that we still have a couple days of early voting and that Tuesday is the big day to vote if they can't participate in the early voting. But, yeah, listen, man, I'm happy to get up and down the state. I love the energies that's out there. This is our year. I really believe that.
It's shaping up that way. All the wind appears to be at our back for a change, which is New Jersey Republicans doesn't always seem to happen. And you have President Trump behind you for your 2025 run. Earlier in the week, you had a tele rally with President Trump. Very different, very cool. Had to be kind of surreal to have the President of the United States repping you in front of, I don't know how many people were on that call, thousands, tens of thousands.
Yeah, we had more than 50,000 people across the state participate in that call. But listen, I'm honored to have his endorsement. He wants to win, as do I. He knows New Jersey's in play, as do I. He likes the energy I bring to the campaign, the campaign each and every day. He knows we're going to raise the necessary money. He knows we're going to have coattails. And he knows that a win in New Jersey sends a very loud and clear message all across the nation.
I don't think people believe it because the president obviously has a lot of responsibilities here and abroad, focused on 50 states. I want you to tell them, because maybe they'll believe you, Jack. President Trump is borderline obsessed with winning New Jersey. Everyone that knows him interacts with him. It's a major focus for him this year, isn't it?
He knows that we're the spark that lit the fuse back in 21 with our 2.5-point loss. He came really close last year without even campaigning here. And so he's excited. But, you know, the other thing, Matt, is he's very much in tune with what's going on in New Jersey. I mean, he's put a temporary halt on the wind farms off the Jersey Shore. He's beaten up on the New York Democrats over congestion pricing. He's ready to quadruple the SALT deduction on the federal tax returns. That's a big deal for us because of our own property taxes here. And for all these reasons and more, he knows that people across New Jersey are really ready to vote Republican. I'm not just talking Republican, obviously. I'm talking about the soft Democrats and all the independents that are out there as well.
It seems like it's finally time to turn the page. People are ready for it. You know, I looked at the early vote numbers, and it's just early vote. It looks like as of yesterday, Republicans were about 5%, Democrats were about 9%. Not completely surprising. They're at a little bit of a higher rate, because their competitive primary, that clown car they have going on right now,
right,
that's necessarily going to drive turnout. But for any Republican out there who maybe is second-guessing whether or not it's worth getting off the bench and getting in the game this year, what's your message for them if they're debating whether or not to turn out or to put that ballot in the lockbox?
Hey, Matt, listen, we've had magnificent registration gains over the last 53 months. The gap between Republicans and Democrats is closed by more than 300,000 to our betterment. But at the same time, we're still the minority party. If we are not united, I will unite us. If we don't get out there, we're not going to win. So we tell Republicans all the time, get out there and win. I'll get enough independents and soft Democrats to vote for us. And that's how you deliver a win here in New Jersey. And when I say that, I'm not just talking about me. I mean, you can call me crazy, not you, Matt. I know you believe, but what I tell people is with a little bit of wind in our face back in 21, I flipped 8 seats in the state legislature with me at the top of the ticket. We can flip 13 seats this year with the wind in our back, and it is at our back. And with 13 seats, guess what? We get something we haven't had in 30 years, a Republican majority in our state assembly.
Yeah, and there's a few seats right in our core listening area in South Jersey where that's absolutely possible. 4 and 3 come to mind, including
absolutely.
Yeah, down into Gloucester County, Salem County. Let me ask you this: you've got three opponents. Actually, you have four opponents. Two were on the debate stage with you. I was there. I was one of the panelists asking questions. And we're still friends after I asked you some tough questions, so I appreciate that. But moving forward, if anybody's just tuning into this race now and they're thinking to themselves, well, I know that Jack guy came really close in 21. He's running again. Why should I vote for him over the state senator or the radio guy? What's your answer?
First of all, Matt, now let me say that I respect your job as a journalist, and that means you're allowed to ask any question you want. And if you're running for governor, you should be willing to entertain any question that's asked. Otherwise, you shouldn't be running. Listen, we've got to unite the party. I got one opponent, and listen, I got no problem with there being a competition. I do believe competition makes us better, so I got no problem with this being a contested primary. Here's what I will say about two of my opponents. One of them calls Trump supporters crazies and a cult. The other calls anyone who disagrees with him a rhino, okay? We don't win through division or subtraction as the minority party in this state. I'm somebody that believes in the power of addition. You never find me calling other Republicans names. I've got to unite the party. And just look at what Donald Trump did last election day. Did he not unite the party? And in so doing, he wins all 7 swing states. He wins the Electoral College. He wins the popular vote. He wins the House. He wins the Senate. Don't we want to do that here in New Jersey? So my job will be to unite the party on June 11th. That's exactly what I'll do.
Well, I assume that's one of the reasons why you guys connected. I wasn't in the room when you met, but you're both businessmen. You're both straight talkers. And you're both pragmatists. That doesn't mean you both don't have core convictions. But you recognize, hey, you know what? The way you achieve conservative reform, America First reform, progress, is to get as many people as you can in the room and lead them and take them in the right direction.
Exactly, Matt. And the biggest issue that we talked about, and I applauded him for what he's doing to keep the country safe. That man has secured the border. Okay, illegal crossings are down 99%. My job now is to protect and make New Jersey safe. How do we do that? On day one, executive order number one, no town in this state will be a sanctuary city. We will not be a sanctuary state. That's working in partnership with the White House to keep the country and the state safe. And my attorney general will not be suing the White House over his executive orders. And so that's how we work together. And quite frankly, I think every governor across this country, after what we went through with 4 years of Joe Biden with that porous border, made us all border states. Okay. I think every governor, no matter what their party, has an obligation to work with the president to keep our country and our individual states safe.
So if you're in New Jersey and you want to get involved in this race, early voting continues through Sunday. Of course, you can continue to return that vote by mail ballot up through Election Day. And then, of course, you can vote in person on Election Day if you haven't voted already. You know, we're Republicans. We're not Democrats. We're not the dead in Hudson County that rise once a year on November to cast their ballots. Right. So we want to follow the rules. Jack Cittarelli, everyone, the front runner for the New Jersey Republican gubernatorial nomination, came within a whisker of defeating Phil Murphy in 2021. And I think, Jack, you would probably agree, an objectively more challenging cycle for Republicans in the immediate aftermath of the COVID lockdowns. This year, it's definitely possible. So, you know, definitely keep us in the loop. I know you always do, as the election progresses, and obviously wish you the best of luck on Tuesday.
Well, I appreciate that, Matt, and I look forward to coming on next time as the official nominee and someone who's going to lead us to victory in November.
That's Jack Cittarelli, everyone, entering the home stretch of primary 2025. You're listening to the Matt Rooney Show on 1210 WPHT. Quick commercial break, because we are capitalists. That's how we make money around here. Back with more in just a moment.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
It's no secret that producer Dan and yours truly here on the Matt Rooney Show sometimes have a little bit of heat. It's the friction that keeps our relationship interesting. I think you'd agree, Daniel.
Yeah. I mean, we don't beef all the time, but sometimes we got beef.
Sometimes we beef.
Yeah, we beefing.
Sometimes it's a double beef.
Yeah. Well, no, there's not such thing as a double beef.
You can't have a double beef?
Not really. I guess a double beef would be like a double date where, like, you beef with someone and then you're also beefing with another person.
Oh, I was imagining like a double cheeseburger, like a bigger quotient of beef.
I've never heard of a double beef, but we're both right.
All right. Well, that's why you're our official Gen Z translator.
Yeah, that's there we go. But also, yeah. Like, speaking of Gen Z translator, now there's like Gen Alpha slang that I have no idea anything about. So.
That's I mean, so Alpha, they're the kiddos that are in high school today, right? The real kiddies.
Even younger.
Really?
Yeah.
And what are the kinds of things that they say?
Couldn't tell you. I don't know.
We don't yet have the Rosetta Stone to interpret.
Nope.
Interpret the kinds of things that they say.
Nope.
I mean, I thought Riz was Alpha.
No, Riz is a Gen Z thing.
Oh. Skibidi?
Skibbity?
Or Skibbity?
Yeah, that's a Gen Alpha thing.
It's chaotic.
Yeah.
Sigma, I've heard of that.
Sigma is...
That's kind of like a lone wolf, right? Independent.
End of Gen Z, like Gen Alpha, end of Gen Z, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we can get into the Gen... I can look up a Gen Z dictionary if you want. We can just quiz you on these things.
Hey, man, I'm down for it. No cap. No cap.
You use it correctly.
I used it correctly. Are you impressed by that?
Yeah, no cap just means no lying.
Yeah, so anyway, you're right. So anybody that's my age or older, that's what that right, that's what that means.
Aura. You know what that one is?
Well, I mean, I know what the actual dictionary definition of aura is, but no, yeah. I don't know.
Gen Z, it's kind of like...
Atmosphere? I mean, what's...
Overall vibe, energy, a person. Like, oh, I felt their aura like 4 steps ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
That was a little clunkier.
Yeah. A beige flag.
Bay flag.
Beige flag.
Beige flag.
Yeah, you might
see. I can't even begin to guess what that is.
You might see this in the coming years. Granted, if you're still lawyering. I think you're still lawyering.
I'm still lawyering, yeah.
Okay. You didn't tell me that you were a lawyer, so I just had to know. A beige flag is a behavior or personality trait that are neither positive nor negative. So it's not a green flag, but it's also not a red flag. It's just a beige flag.
Oh, so if I was like, Dan's snarkiness is kind of a beige flag?
Yeah.
Is that proper usage?
Yeah, it's not a positive or a negative.
Oh, I see. Whereas Matt's, you know, disarming attractiveness, green flag.
Right. Right. Okay. Some would say red, but yeah. I'm just going through a little of them, not in like... caught in 4K.
Caught in 4K.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I know what 4K is. And 4K can make things look kind of over digitized. I don't really know how to say it.
Caught in 4K refers to someone being indisputably caught doing something wrong or incriminating on camera or with evidence to prove it.
Oh, all right.
So, like,
is that a common Gen Alpha problem?
This is more Gen Z, but a lot of them go for Gen Alpha too. Yeah, it's like when the looting and stuff was happening, it's like, oh, I caught you in 4K.
All right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Anyway, that's your.
I see a lot of this stuff over on X, where you and I have never beefed, but we saw the most epic beef of all time this week.
Yeah.
Between President Donald Trump and Elon Musk, the former besties. Apparently not anymore. Plenty of users have been joking that they think that, well, we're not completely convinced this isn't some kind of kayfabe or something of that effect. But I don't think so, because some of the accusations that Elon leveled at Donald Trump are well below the belt, as they say. And it appears that the union that at least played some kind of role in winning election 2024. Elon says that Trump wouldn't have won without him. I'm not so sure that's fair, because if you go back to before the switcheroo in the summer, Trump was ahead, and there was plenty of evidence that he had stabilized and pulled back ahead in the reliable polls by the time we got to the fall. But, you know, that's probably a useless exercise to go tit for tat. Mostly it just makes me kind of sad. I'm going to be honest with you, Daniel. Normally, we like a good beef on the show because we're selfish and it gives us something to talk about, right?
Yeah, I don't know. There's something's going on. I don't know. You can't just look at a thing. I mean, obviously, you can look at something and be like, I don't like it. But the fact that Elon was all for, like, was pro-Trump and all this kind of stuff, and then all of a sudden he saw this one thing that he didn't like, and he's like, oh, I don't like him anymore. So I think, I don't know if it's like, I don't think it's staged. So I'm not going to say that, but like, I think there's something else going on.
Well, we'll assume for a second, and I'll tell you why it makes me sad. We'll assume for a second that it's all in good faith, right? That they're having an honest disagreement. I have devoted
out, like, two teenage girls.
No, I don't think anybody has pulled anybody's hair out yet or called anybody fat, but that's probably coming.
Yeah, but teenage girls nowadays just fight on social media.
They do, right? Yeah. But like, that's like posting AI pictures of each other and stuff, right?
Deep fakes?
Yeah, deep fakes.
That's illegal.
Well, I know it's illegal, but isn't that what kids do to each other now?
No.
They don't?
No. Not that I know of.
Oh, yeah. No, this is like a thing.
I know it's a thing. I know deep fakes are like a huge thing.
Oh, yeah, no.
I don't know anyone of my generation that has personally, I don't know anyone personally who's done it.
Apparently it's been a thing in high schools. But in any event, before we go too far afield, the reason why this makes me sad is because there's so much potential to continue to grow this coalition that came together in 2024. Anything that's going to make it fracture is not a positive development. And to the point I was starting to make a minute ago before we went down the deepfake rabbit hole, you know, our government, our federal government in particular, has been broken for 100 years now, ever since we had the Great Depression and FDR ascended to power and transformed our limited government republic into the welfare state pork dispenser that we know it to be today. You know, if you really want to deep dive and go back to the Civil War, yes, you know, the conception of government kind of changed to a degree necessarily during that conflict. But really, things accelerated in the aftermath of the Great Depression under Franklin Delano Roosevelt. You're not going to undo that, a century worth of decline in the purpose of our government, in 6 months. It's just not going to happen. And there's a lot of really good stuff in the BBB, the Big Beautiful Bill, including some tax cuts that are really going to supercharge the economy. You know, of all people, Dan, the comment I saw online on X specifically that resonated the most with me was from Rod Blagojevich. That name probably doesn't mean a whole lot to you. He's former Democrat governor of Illinois.
Oh, I love that guy.
Yeah, he got himself in a little bit of trouble, but since he kind of came back out and reinvented himself, he often dispenses some wisdom. And look, there's an example of another guy who knows how the sausage is made. He's been on the inside. You know, you can't not know how it works and be governor of Illinois as a Democrat. And he said, warning to Elon Musk, don't let the Dems in the game. If the big, beautiful bill goes down, the Republicans, with their narrow majority in the House, will be forced to deal with the Dems. Then the pork spending will rocket into space, and Trump's bill will be far bigger and less beautiful. In a democracy, you can never let the perfect be the enemy of the good. I think there's some truth to that. You know, there does come a point where you got to throw down and say enough is enough. We have to draw a line in the sand, and spending in this country is undeniably out of control. But at the same time, we very often forget in the public discourse as of late that Republicans have an historically tiny majority. You got to deal with wackos like AOC in that chamber. And on the other side, you've got guys like Chip Roy and Massey who don't like pretty much anything. So in order to get something done, it's necessarily not going to be perfect. So what do we do? Do we let the tax cuts expire? Do we let taxes go up by double digits and see the effect that's going to have on our economy and the ability of Americans to be able to buy goods and live in an already post-hyperinflationary environment? Here's fundamentally where I'm at, Daniel. I want to know what the alternative is. I want to know what critics of the big, beautiful bill want to get through the House and believe they can get through the House with the current governing majority. I think that, you know, President Trump would probably be open to hearing about ways to improve his big, beautiful bill or any proposal. That's the kind of guy he is as a businessman. I mean, even if you aren't familiar with his actual work, watch The Apprentice. He's always open to an innovative person bringing good ideas to him. He's not someone that doesn't like an idea just because it's not his. But I'm not hearing alternative ideas. So I'm not hearing any.
I got a couple of thoughts about this. Surprisingly, I do. I know. I'm actually doing my job for once.
I nearly fell out of my chair.
I almost heard it. So, like, I get it. Couple things. One, I think it's funny. I think this whole thing's hilarious because they're fighting on social media. It's not like Elon Musk isn't in the White House 24/7 and he can't just go to his office and just talk it out. I think it's funny that they're beefing on social media like teenage girls, as I said.
Well, it is a fascinating observation, just to drill down on that for a second.
It's hilarious.
You know, think back 30 years.
This would never happen.
Like the idea of the two most powerful men on the planet having this... Right. This ongoing live dialogue with each other that's this aggressive in an open forum like this. No one at the time could have conceived of it. You're right. Yeah. It's interesting.
So one, it's funny. Anyone who says it's not is just they have no sense of humor. Two, this is technically what Elon Musk was hired to do, is to go through bills and like... Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but like he was hired to go through like all this fraud and all this kind of stuff. So if he's looking at this bill... He's trying to cut out all the fraud and do the stuff that's good for the people, which if you look at his Twitter, he's like, he retweeted a tweet saying, drop the tax cuts, cut some pork, get the bill through. And then it's a bunch of hate, but a lot of it's like the bill can go through. You just have to cut out a lot of it because it doesn't really help any people. So like, that's
so why not say that? Right. Why not say that? Why get into Epstein Island and all these other non sequiturs?
I don't know. I think people like to be personal. I've been in a couple of personal beefs recently, so it's like...
Yeah? You've been beefing with someone that's not me?
Yeah. Something happened, and the person just made it personal, and then that's when I'm just like, this isn't a beef anymore. This is a personal attack. So it's like, not that I care. I kind of just shook it off and went about my day. But when you start making it personal, then it's just not... I don't think there was a need for Elon to do that. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, Trump pretty much said he was disappointed, and that seemed to trigger.
Yeah, but then also
to trigger him.
But then Elon then tweeted out saying "slim, beautiful bill for the win." So, like, he wants the bill to go through, but he doesn't want it to be as big as it is. So, I think there's kind of like a miscommunication somewhere.
Well, I'm going to go back to what you originally said. I think there's something else going on here because he clearly has some kind of anger. towards the president. So I feel as if there's more to the story. And that's not me saying this is justified. I'm just saying it seems to me like this is – there's more going on here than he just woke up one day and said, you know what? I don't think this cuts enough. I'll tell you what I think part of it is. I think that Doge very much fused with his identity, which it's always dangerous when you're working on something to allow your work to become your identity. And when it didn't end the way that he wanted it to end, he wanted to cut like $1 trillion. We didn't get the $200 billion, which is still a lot. It's an awful lot of money, but it's not, I guess, good enough for the guy who is a dreamer and wants to put people on Mars. It may have impacted his ego a smidge. I will say this for anybody who's curious. Everybody's taking sides. Look, Donald Trump was shot at. They tried to jail him. They sued him. Let's not delude ourselves for a moment here. Those of you who, like me, are part of this America First movement, the Trumpster remains the indispensable man here. Elon Musk, his contributions in 2024 were incredible. And the work that he did with Doge, extremely, extremely important. But I mean, this is just me talking for yours truly. You know, it's going to take more than somebody's quibbles with how aggressive this bill is in cutting spending for me to turn on Donald Trump, and to pretend, as some people are today, that somehow he's not serious about reigning in the swamp. I mean, that's ridiculous. The guy's clearly trying to do what he can with the tools at his disposal. They say a carpenter's only good as his tools. He's got a weaselly, very slim Republican majority in the House. In some ways, it's a miracle that tax cuts of that magnitude, funding to secure the border, tools to help parents stand up to wokeism in our schools. It's amazing all this stuff was able to make it through to begin with.
I think Elon wants the bill to go through. He just wants everything that isn't necessary to be cut out of it, which I understand. If there's nonsense in there, take it out. But if they're, you know, I think that's what he wants. But he's just making it a personal attack because Trump makes everything personal. So he's like, I'm going to give him a taste of his own medicine. But I don't see why all of a sudden he turned. So I think he saw the bill and was like, yeah, no, none of this has to be in there. And that's it. He just wants it slimmer. He doesn't want it big. As he said, he wants it slimmer.
He wants a big, beautiful bill on Ozempic or what's the other one? Wegovy. Yeah.
Which, I mean, the Senate can do that. The Senate can look over and be like, we don't want any of this stuff out. And they can go back and be like, hey, here's a revised portion of the bill. They can do that. But I don't.
Well, their ability to cut discretionary spending is limited, though.
Right.
Through the reconciliation process. That's one challenge. So the idea that the Senate could completely reinvent this bill, even if they wanted to.
Not like reinvent, but aren't they able to like make edits to it?
Well, they can tweak it, but they can't go in there with a cleaver.
Right.
At this point.
That's what I mean. They can make, you know, some kind of edits here and there, but don't go in and, like, the foundation's there. Just go in and...
Ultimately, what I would like to see, Elon, reach out to the president, offer to go to the White House, sit down with him. This was a partnership that had a lot of potential, you know?
I think it still does. I think this is just a one-off. I mean, everyone's got one-offs, you know, with their friends or their pals.
Bombs Elon dropped on X, though, man.
I don't know if they're true. I think he's just doing it for attention. I think he's lonely.
You think he's...
I think he's lonely.
Do you want to give Elon a hug?
Kind of. I don't know what happened, but, like, he was a good guy. And then everyone's just like, nah, this guy sucks. And now he's like... bringing it back up, like he kind of got cyberbullied in a way, and now he's doing the one cyberbullying.
Who is
turn his phone off and be like, I don't want it anymore.
Well, that's the other thing that some people have speculated: is this some kind of effort to rehabilitate his brand after these domestic terrorists were attacking Tesla?
I mean,
I hope not, because I got the impression that this was a guy who had convictions.
But like putting on Twitter that Trump was a part of the Epstein files, like. Is that true, or is that just like something that he's doing just for attention? Because if it was true, it would have been released years ago.
If President Trump had done something that the Biden Department of Justice was aware about in relation to Epstein Island,
it would have been published.
They wouldn't have wasted time trying to throw him in jail for documents that were exactly arguably of classified character, right? They would have gone for the jugular.
Exactly.
So that's the part of this that I, you know, look, if you disagree, people are allowed to disagree. I think the Big Beautiful Bill is important and an accomplishment. You disagree, free country, but we didn't need to get into all this. At the end of the day, the left is still out there. They're on their back, but they're not vanquished. And again, Rod Blagojevich, of all people, makes the important point. I've been monitoring social media since this spat began. And guess what? The Democrats, and it may be short-lived, but they feel as if they have some wind in their sails. And they're tweeting about releasing the Epstein files, kill the bill. We can't let them off the mat. We can't let them back in to the game. We can't give them an opportunity.
Here's another weird part of it. I know my feed is a little outdated, and it says 9 hours ago. Mm-hmm. But in Donald Trump tweeted July 31st, 2012. So we're going back a ways. He tweeted or X'd or posted, whatever you want to call it, no member of Congress shall be eligible for re-election if our country's budget is not balanced. And then Elon Musk quoted it, was like, I couldn't agree more. So, like, I don't know. You have the, on one hand, the guy is like, you're beefing with him. But on the other hand, you're like, oh, no, I agree with this guy says, which is fair. You can, you know, disagree.
Well, he's trying to be snarky, saying that the president used to believe in the importance of this, that, and the
right.
other. But guess what? That was 13 years ago, before right. Donald Trump was president, had to deal with Congress. Congress is an awful place, folks. I got news for you. It's an institution that corrupts men, twists their purpose, and it's really been since the beginning of the Republic. John Adams is the one that said that I've come to the conclusion that one useless man is a disgrace, the two become a law firm, and that three or more become a Congress. Well, there you go. That was in the 18th century, folks, and it's just as true today as it was back then. So look, yours truly, as ever, is laser focused on winning New Jersey, building the America First movement. I remain a great fan of our president. And certainly I hope that this does not become a point upon which the movement fractures. It can't. We can't allow that to happen, because the war is not won to save this country. We got a lot more work to do. And we have the whole other hour of the Matt Rooney Show on this program. Remember, over on 1210 WPHT, on your radio dial, the Odyssey app, but also via the podcast, you can listen to it whenever you just got that itch to hear Matt and Dan opine and dispense wisdom, and sometimes some humor too, albeit accidentally. Let's take a break, and then we'll be back with our second hour in just a few. Don't move a muscle.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand with Matt Rooney.
Welcome back to our numero dos of dose for our bilingual listeners here on the Matt Rooney Show. The first episode of Pride Month 2025. Happy Pride, Dan.
Thanks. Happy Pride to you. I hope we're all going to go to Woody's sometime and celebrate.
Where are we going?
Woody's? You don't know about Woody's?
Well, what is Woody's?
Woody's is a gay bar in the city.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's like a really, really big gay bar in the city.
Oh. Sounds
I heard
like
it's pretty. I heard
like
it's
you know
time.
A lot about it.
I have a lot of people that I work with that have been there.
Oh, yeah. People you work with.
Yeah. So they say it's a great time. So it smells like vomit, but a great time nonetheless.
Did those things go together? Having a good time and having
correct
vomit wafting in your nostrils.
It's the summertime, so that means it's going to be even more than it is. So there we go.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, you enjoy celebrating Pride, little guy.
I am.
You're part of an increasingly small segment of the population, though. I read an article this week that said that, well, let me back up for a second. I noticed there was a lot less Pride memorabilia at the store when I was there this week. I went to Target or Target, as my wife likes to say, to get some stuff for the kids. Didn't really see anything.
She likes being bougie. Target.
Target, yeah.
Target.
I didn't see all the little like rainbow sweatshirts for the kiddies, you know. Haven't really been seeing as many commercials. Not much as much conversation about it online. And then I found this article. Big brands take a step back from pride. You might be seeing fewer rainbows from big brands this year. About 39% say they're dialing back their public pride efforts this year, per a recent survey of corporate executives. Many say they're afraid of customer backlash, like the one Bud Light faced after it partnered with a trans influencer in 2023, Dan's boy Dylan Mulvaney. You'll remember that. And that's from Emma Thorne over at LinkedIn News. I had no idea that LinkedIn had its own news, by the way.
LinkedIn's on the up and coming.
Is it really?
There's a lot of people who are just graduating college or in college that are getting LinkedIn. So,
oh, really? I'm on there. I don't really do a whole lot with it.
I don't use mine as much. But speaking of pride, there is backlash because the Texas Rangers are the only team in the MLB that is not hosting a Pride Night in 2025.
Check that out.
I don't know if it's because it's Texas, but then again, the Houston Astros are. So it's like, what's going on?
I think it's rainbow fatigue. I really do believe that.
Could be, or they're just like, we don't really want to do it.
Look, because they felt they had to do it, right? Because they thought that they were going to get a cultural backlash be on the receiving end of a cultural backlash if they didn't do it. And now, see, this is, I said in the first segment of tonight's show, because we're talking about the Trump-Musk beef, I said, listen, at the end of the day, we're a big country. We can accommodate a lot of voices. There's no chance to be walking away from Donald Trump over this bill, folks. Not doing it. He's the indispensable man. And this is just one of the many reasons why the president is the indispensable man, because his election, his solid, decisive election last November, if you're seeing less pride, less rainbows shoved down your throat this year, it's because corporations took note of that victory. And they said to themselves, you know what? Maybe our market research is garbage. Maybe America isn't where we thought it was. At least 39%, according to this survey, that was reported on by LinkedIn News. So a shift is underway. But don't think for a second there aren't those out there that are still claiming to be tolerant but are exercising extreme intolerance. There was a story, Dan, out of New Jersey this week, out of Gloucester City, actually, right near the banks of the Delaware River, not far from Odyssey HQ. This is from NJ Advance Media. Bar with pride flag harassed by NJ man accused of leaving offensive note. Now, I want you to absorb that headline for a second, because I have a real problem with it.
Read it to me one more time.
Bar with pride flag harassed by NJ man accused of leaving offensive note.
Not like a lawyer bar, but like an actual alcohol bar.
An actual alcohol bar.
Got it. My
like
favorite.
Like one of the bars you like to go to that you were just talking about a minute ago in Philly. This is a bar called Bayer's Tavern on Jersey Avenue in Gloucester City. Yeah. And according to New Jersey Advance News, this 60-year-old man has now been charged criminally after he allegedly wrote a derogatory note about a pride flag hanging outside a bar in Gloucester City. Gloucester City police have reportedly charged him with harassment and bias intimidation. He's issued a summons. He was released. Now, everything I just told you, and I want to emphasize that harassment part in the title, this article adjudges this man guilty, which as an attorney, take pride out of it, I have a big problem with. He hasn't been convicted of anything. And the harassment standard in New Jersey is pretty tough to prove beyond a reasonable doubt in a court of law. But if you just took that little story from NJ.com and didn't do any further digging, you would have assumed that this guy hurled some pretty nasty words at the owners and at the patrons of this Gloucester City establishment. Well, I'm gonna tweet it out. I'm going to post it on my X account, Matt Rooney NJ. So you can check it out. There is a picture of what this man allegedly put on the sidewalk outside of this Jersey City bar. And it's, did I send this to you, Daniel?
You did not.
I did not share this with you. I'm gonna send this to you.
I do.
Here
I did.
Look, I'm gonna hold. No, hold on. I'm gonna be real tech savvy here. I'm gonna go look at this. Boop.
No, but I just
texted that to you.
Yeah, but I looked up the bar, and it, if this is correct, there isn't an actual flag on the building. It's just like on a telephone line pole.
It's on a telephone.
Like it's a really small. It's small. Yeah. It's not on the building.
Well, look at what this guy allegedly put there. It's an American flag. And this is the allegedly harassing note, folks. This is a pride flag, USA. Not a rainbow, plain and simple. Lost my business, which business misspelled with an extra S, but who's counting? Any questions?
You only had how many years of schooling?
Right. Any questions? Question mark. Answers not. Does anyone think that that's harassment?
I don't know. I think it's
now. Again, we can sit here and we can say, regardless how you feel about all this stuff. All right, you know, do you need to make a comment in a public way when you disagree with a private business's decision to celebrate something? All right, that's one way to analyze this. But then there's also free speech. He's not accused of breaking a window or standing outside and screaming or, you know, I just read that note. I don't think you can in any way can possibly twist that or spin that to suggest that he was attempting to harass someone or put them in fear or apprehension, right, of harm based upon that note. NJ.com describes it as an offensive note. You may disagree with the sentiment, but is it offensive? I mean, only if you disagree with them and mere disagreement, even if it's controversial, is not harassing.
I this is going to be controversial, but I don't care what flag is outside of the business. I it doesn't. Maybe that's just me, and I can go about my business and have my own thoughts and have my own opinions, and I don't need to share them because it doesn't bother me. But like, just because a business has a flag that I may or may not like, it doesn't mean that I'm not going to just stop. Like. Eating there or whatever. Like Walmart does this kind of like Walmart, Target, all this kind of stuff does pride stuff. But like, I don't stop shopping there for the month just because I don't like it. Like I can,
well, that's your right.
Yeah. Like I can have like, it's not my thing, but there's someone out there who does enjoy it. So why? Like, I don't know. I feel selfish if that's the case.
Well, look, again, it's your right as an American, right? Just like it's his right. And this is my point, to exercise his free speech.
Sure.
Even if you might say, you know what, I don't care as much as this guy does. So I'm going to be watching this story because I have real problems with it. I don't like the idea that an American flag and a note saying that, hey, listen, you know, this is the only flag that should be an organizing principle for the people of the United States. I don't like the idea that that is now something that gets you hit with two C criminal charges in the state of New Jersey. I have a real problem with that. And by the way, this is, to your point, Dan, I'm not saying you're saying this. I'm saying this addresses what you're at the point I think you're trying to make about not personally caring. This is the primary reason why people don't like Pride Month. It's not because most Americans that disagree with it or don't like the sentiment have an issue with gay people. That's really not what it is. That's what the left wants to make it. They think that, oh, you just get the heebie-jeebies when you're hanging out with gays and lesbians and trans and this, that, and the other. That's not really what it's about. It's this whole idea of forced cultural compliance. The idea that whether it's kids in schools, right, that are being groomed by woke teachers, right, or whether it's kind of this, you know, the cultural pressure to conform and treat Pride as if it's, you know, a secular Christmas at the beginning of the summer, or in this case, somebody being charged with a crime because they're speaking out saying that I don't like it. I'm not going to buy beer from you anymore because I'm tired of having these rainbows shoved down my throat. That's why people react the way they do to Pride Month. The added reason why I'm not a fan is, again, I don't like this idea of our country becoming so balkanized by ideology. Like, all right, you're gay, you like, you're attracted to people of the same sex, good for you, I guess. So long as you're consenting adults and you're leaving me and my kids and my tax dollars out of it, don't really care. But at the end of the day, we're supposed to be Americans. That's supposed to be the flag that flies the highest on the pole. That's what's supposed to evoke the most pride in you. And I'll tell you this. I mean, certainly there are places that have pride flags and American flags. But I know an awful lot of places in my region that only have the pride flag out.
I get what you're saying. I do. I'm not discrediting it. I'm not disagreeing with you. But I think people just are taking this too personally. Maybe that's controversial. It might be. I don't really care. But like, the restaurant wasn't going out of its way to do all this stuff. Like, it literally just had a flag. I'm not discrediting you. I'm not discrediting the guy. The guy can do what he wants. He's a free American. But like, it's just a flag.
Well, so your opinion taken. But again, the question is whether or not it was criminal, right? Like, no. You, Dan Valdez, might have been like, dude, like, leave him alone. Why do you care?
Did he actually?
What are you accused of? Criminal.
Behavior? Did he actually take the flag down?
No, that's not at all what he's accused of.
So then, no, if he didn't do any damage to the actual building and he didn't vandalize anything, then no. If he just left it out with a note, then I don't see why that's an issue. That's his right to do so.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's no vandalism. No one was hurt. Yeah, nobody was threatened. There was no damage to property.
And then I don't see why it would be criminalized.
I'm going to read from the actual Gloucester City Police press release. On June 3rd, 2025, at 12:34 p.m., officers responded to Bayer's Tavern for an act of harassment. A male threw a rolled-up American flag on the sidewalk in front of the tavern. A note was attached to the flag, which was derogatory toward the pride flag displayed at the tavern. Now, you tell me whether or not that note I read was derogatory towards this flag that was hanging, I guess, either from the tavern, or Dan says it looks like it maybe was on a utility pole. But again, that was not a crime. Honestly, the only thing that I'm finding that I don't like is that you put the American flag on the ground.
I think they're just pulling at straws, to be honest. I think they want this to be something that it's not. I mean, is it disrespectful to throw an American flag? Probably. But I think they're just pulling at strings. I think they want to make it something bigger than it's not. Especially the month that it's in, they just want to make it seem like it's a hate crime.
Yeah. Yeah, which again, the whole idea of a hate crime is absurd. I've been a lawyer for almost 15 years. I've seen very few crimes committed out of love. A crime of passion, you catch your spouse with a lover, you steal a loaf of bread to feed your children. I guess those things happen, but that's not 99% of crime, folks, right? When you commit a crime, you're doing it either, you know, because you hate somebody or because of a callous disregard for your fellow man. So as a concept, that's just one of the many problems with it. But as I said, we're going to keep an eye on this story here on the Matt Rooney Show as Pride Month progresses and beyond. Remember, you can check us out at our podcast. Make sure you subscribe if you haven't already. You can check out not only the program, but also select interviews. It's a heck of a lot of fun. Sometimes you listen to it when you're cutting the grass, you're in the car, you're sitting in the bathtub having a soak, and you're tired of the song of the whales, so you decide instead to indulge in the melodious sound of my voice. I get it. I understand it. And obviously Dan provides a little comedic relief from time to time. Anyway, sometimes we're laughing with some, sometimes we're laughing at him. Either way, we're always having fun, aren't we, buddy?
Yeah, great time.
Yeah, we are here on 1210 WPHT. Let's take a timeout, and we'll be back in a sec.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
Back on the Matt Rooney Show. Having a great time with my pal Dan when he actually decides to show up at work.
Sometimes you just need an off day.
Or a month or two.
Or a whole month. You got to take those PTO days, you know?
You got to take those PTO days.
Yeah. The ones that I don't get, but I'm taking.
Yeah. Well, since you're here, do your job. And why don't you educate us?
Yeah.
Give us something we don't know. Expand our brains. Let's have your fact of the week.
Today's fact of the week or tonight's fact of the week, has to do.
Sponsored by what's the name of that bar in Gloucester City?
Bayers? Bayers?
No, it's not. They're not our sponsor.
They're not our sponsor. We don't have that. We're not that advanced. We're just a weekend show here, people.
I don't think we're in any danger.
We're just a weekend show here.
We're sponsored by the company that made the American flag.
Probably. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Today's fact of the week has a deal with cows and beef.
Okay. Appropriate since we've been talking about beef in the night.
Mainly cows. I couldn't find anything about beef that was actually interesting. But cows, this is good. This is a good one. Cows can talk about their feelings. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, cows might not be queuing up for the therapist's couch, but they do communicate their emotions. They use long, high-pitched vocalizations to express negative feelings, such as distress, and shorter, lower-pitched vocalizations to communicate positive feelings, like when they are reunited with a calf that wandered off. So unlike our commander-in-chief, cows can actually talk about their feelings and their emotions, and other cows can understand. And
what is that supposed to mean?
What?
I never thought of President Trump as somebody that can't communicate his feelings.
I just mean not going on social media. I mean, cows obviously can't go on social media.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yes.
Instead of whining and moaning about it on social media.
Yes. I'm looking right now. Google AI says arousal is one of the vocalizations.
Oh, even better.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, who doesn't know
how to study that at all?
I mean, who doesn't know how to communicate when they're aroused? You know what I mean?
Well, I'm just curious how cows do it.
Foxes, they scream.
Wow, this is like a whole thing. I'm going down a rabbit hole here. There's a whole website called Cow Talk.
Oh wow, is it a podcast?
Well, I don't know. I'm a little afraid to click on that. That's one of those things that could go either way. It could be about dairy cows and their communications, or it could be something that's going to put me on an FBI list. So I'm just not going to try. I'm going to forget I saw it.
I'm on something. It's a forum of cow talk, and it's just like not cow talk, show and sales, dairy politics, dairy management.
Oh, wow. Really thrilling, exciting stuff.
Like actual like farming of cows.
You were just telling me the other day, you were like, Matt, why don't we talk more about dairy politics on the program?
I did. I did say that.
You did.
And a hot topic of discussion and part of dairy politics is butter shortages. What's the deal with butter shortages?
Oh, that'll be next week's episode. Just 2 hours of butter shortages.
Mind you, that was posted in 2017.
That's neither here nor there.
So you can tell that the dairy politics and the cow talk forum is very, very popular.
Oh, absolutely. Hot stuff. Hot topic.
That's your fact of the week, by the way.
Speaking of hot topics and people who communicate in interesting ways, do you remember your girl KGP?
Yeah.
Kareen Jean-Pierre? So yeah. Hold on. Well, hold on. Let's hold the phone for a second. I don't want to rush you here. What were you trying to communicate there?
I don't know. You speak whale, don't you?
That sounds more like the whale.
Right.
The cow would be more like...
Xbox record that. That's getting clipped. That's getting clipped. Yeah. Or you can be like, the zesty cow.
Oh, that's a frisky cow.
That's a frisky and a zesty one.
Yeah, that's anyway. A cow where, you know.
Let's go back to our Lord and Savior, KJP.
You don't have to buy the milk with that cow. Just saying.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? I blacked out. Oh, yeah, KGP. So, Kareen Jean-Pierre, of course, the former Spox for our doddering ex-president, Joe Biden. If this isn't a sign that the Democrat Party is in trouble, which is one of the reasons why I hate this whole like Trump Musk thing, right? Because we're winning, we really are. It's one of the reasons why I think the Big Beautiful Bill is important, because we can't allow ourselves to be bogged down right now. As Rod Blagojevich said, I can't believe I've now quoted him three times in this program. We can't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. This party's in free fall. KGP has announced that she is leaving the Democrat Party. So let's think about this for a second and put in its proper perspective. The most visible face of the White House.
All right, we just got to give her a round of applause.
Is that for me or because she's leaving?
Because she's leaving.
Oh, I see. It's like walk away music.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. KGP, most visible face of the Biden White House, no longer thinks it's worth it to be a Democrat. The party that she was the de facto spokesperson for. This is according to Axios. Former White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre has become an independent after serving under two Democrat presidents, according to the publisher of a new book from KGP out this fall. Jean-Pierre, whose encounters with White House reporters grew tense last year amid questions concerning former President Biden's age and health, will detail in her new book the weeks that led to his 2024 campaign departure per a publisher's description. The name of the book, Daniel, because I'll be getting it for you for Christmas, I guess, is Independent, A Look Inside a Broken White House
Better be
Outside the Party Lines.
Better be autographed.
Well, I'll see what I can do.
It's 256 pages, by the way.
Which is...
like a fifth grade reading level.
Right. I was going to say, since it's KGP, it's probably got pictures. So that'll be nice.
It's like Captain Underpants, the novel.
It's got pictures, and it's got, like, you know how you'll be reading a kid's book and one page is just stickers that you can peel out and stick on something else.
It comes out in September, by the way.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Just in time.
Actually,
to
it's
do some early holiday shopping.
4 days after my birthday.
All right. Well, I'll get you a card and I'll put in there, hey, listen, it's been pre-ordered.
Thank you.
It's coming.
If you are curious, it's number 260 in Women in Politics, number 781 in Political Freedom, and 5,555th in Political Leader Biographies.
Translation, no one gives a damn.
Yeah.
No one wants to read her book, which,
yeah.
which they're promising, according to the publisher, is going to take readers through the betrayal by the Democrat Party that prompted Biden's decision.
Ooh, if you really want a deal, it's like almost 50% off on a Kindle right now.
Oh, you know what? It's always a great sign, right? When your book is still like 3 months from being released and it's already 50% off.
It was the
very promising.
A hardcover is $29.99, but the Kindle version is $14.99.
You'd have to.
You get a huge deal.
You'd have to pay me to read this thing. In a hard-hitting yet hopeful critique, Jean-Pierre defines what it means to be a part of the growing percentage of our fractured electorate that is independent. The announcement reads, and Axios also notes that political independents make up about 43% of U.S. adults, per Gallup data from 2023. So, look, you know, the reason I bring this up is not because I'm pitching her book, because I'm sure it's going to be garbage. It's that the Democrat Party has become extremely unattractive, such that here is a leading visible Democrat that in order to rehabilitate her image and to sell a book and have a career, feels as if she needs to swim away from the brand. So why the hell are we fighting each other? Why are we beating each other up? Why aren't we just getting stuff done and trying to do what the left does, which is always move the ball down the field? As I said in the first hour of this show, it took 100 years for Democrats and their ideology to destroy our federal government. It's not going to be fixed in a day. The American federal government is not Tesla. It is not SpaceX. It is not a company where you can send in some auditors and right the ship overnight. I wish it was the case. It's an ongoing project, which needs to be the product of many years, probably another 100 years, folks. I got news for you. And you and I and everyone, we can be a part of that, but not if we indulge a circular firing squad. That's a recipe for disaster. This is another sign, KGP's departure, that we're winning. Do not snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. Unfortunately, that's what Republicans are often very adept at. Sometimes it's all they do well, Daniel.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'll be working on getting a copy for you and Bella all the same. You can have mine since I'm not going to read it.
While you're at it, let me get Joe Biden's book as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, just make it a double feature.
Joe Biden's book, it probably looks like one of the drawings my daughter makes for me. Just lots of crayon going in different directions.
You know what? While we're at it, throw Bernie Sanders' book in there too.
Bernie's book?
I'll have enough for the winter and the fall.
You have enough for the week. You have more than enough
yeah.
to keep yourself occupied
yeah.
in the event you, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, does
Bernie have a book out? I'm sure he's written one.
Yeah. What do you mean? He went on a whole book tour.
Oh, that's right. They did those fighting the oligarchy rallies.
Fighting the oligarchy. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do need plan material because my mom and I are planning a trip to see the Cowboys Packers game in AT&T Stadium. So I need something to read on the plane there.
Oh, well, there you go. That'll be your latest excuse to skip work.
Yeah.
But it's okay because I love your mom much more than you.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. She's a lovely woman. I remember back, it was like a couple of years ago, probably 23 or something like that, 22. Bernie had a book. And the title of it was, It's Okay to Be Angry About Capitalism. And it did reasonably well. And he made a bunch of money. So Bernie Sanders made a mint selling a book criticizing capitalism. Do you get the joke?
It's okay to be angry about capitalism. Yep. Found it on Amazon. It has 4.7 out of 10 stars. It is an audiobook. If you want the audiobook, it's 10 hours, about 11 hours long.
Yeah.
And
I found this article May 23. As of then, he had made $170,000 in book royalties in 2022, which is, you know, pretty much doubling his salary that he makes as a United States senator.
I mean, here's
Elizabeth Warren. You imagine she made on books in 2022?
Probably over a mil.
Pocahontas. $440,000 on royalties.
Oh, well.
That's royalties. These are people that are constantly telling you capitalism is evil. They are capitalism's ultimate success stories. And by success stories, I don't mean because they do it the right way. I mean because they take advantage of the system.
Oh, Bernie Sanders also did a book called, since we were just talking about the dairy farm, Milk Money, Cash, Cows, and the Death of the American Dairy Farm. 278 pages.
Learn everything you want to know about cow arousal. Moo!
Anyway, Bernie Sanders, It's Okay to Be Angry About Capitalism, ranked 15,733rd in Audible Books and Originals.
Woo!
Number 7 in Political Economy, number 16 in Political Economic Conditions, and number 22 in United States National Government.
No one's buying their garbage anymore, folks. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
They're out of fashion. Now is the time to unite.
Here's even.
This is, as President Trump has said many times, an American golden age.
You want to know something even better about it?
About the golden age or about Bernie Sanders' book?
About Bernie Sanders' book? You can get a used copy, hard or paper, for less than $2.
Ooh.
Hardcover is $1.62 and a paperback is $1.79.
Wow.
So if that doesn't break the bank, I don't know what will.
Yeah. Well, listen, I got to take a break so I could go buy some.
A break? We got before they sell out.
Even with your producer salary, we could buy like 6 of them.
Yeah.
Whee!
Good investment. We'll just expense it.
God bless America. This is your Congress, folks. This is the Congress that we have to go to try to pass legislation, right? These are the people that are holding up progress for you, your family, your community, your nation. If you ever had any doubt of why things are broken, all you got to do is listen to the Matt Rooney Show, and we'll call them all out for you. It's what we do better than anyone else here on 1210 WPHT. One more timeout, but don't worry. Don't get your panties at a twist. We will be back to close out this show strong in just a moment.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
Our friend Mark Mitchell over at Rasmussen Reports, he's been on the Matt Rooney Show a bunch of times. He tweeted out this week talking about the Donald Trump, Elon Musk fight. Someone who thinks there is a middle 80% isn't politically astute enough to launch a third party. He's referring to Elon Musk's threat to start a third party. Yeah, that's true. There is not a middle 80%. In the United States, you've got about 40 to 45% of Americans lined up in either camp who would vote for a Democrat or Republican, respectively, even if said Democrat or Republican was accused of like heinous war crimes. Those votes are just locked in, man. There's no 80% that's going to shift one way or the other.
I don't know. I think people trying to start political parties are just wasting time. I mean, look at what's his face? Andy Kim?
Yeah, it just well, not Andy Kim. You're thinking of the guy up in
not Andy Kim. Who is it? Is it not?
No, Andy Kim's a Democrat congressman in New Jersey.
Not Andy Kim. Who the other guy?
Andrew
is?
Yang.
That's who it is. That's Andrew Yang.
Wrong Andy.
Same Andy. It's yeah. That's what it was. Yeah.
That's all.
I don't know where Andy. I don't know where Andy Kim came from.
Well, look. Ask RFK Jr. Right. And I'm an admirer of RFK, as many of you are. It's just not where the country is right now. And it's not what happens in American politics. Usually what happens is that one party comes along, a new party, and supplants the old. The Whigs, right? It's a classic example of that. So yeah. It just ain't gonna happen. A lot of people have been asking me about that Gloucester City story, the alleged hate crime, leaving an American flag and a note outside of a bar. This kind of stuff is still continuing to happen all over the country. I think that the difference is now that there's pushback, and that's part of the reason why the culture is changing. There's a story from the Daily Fetched this week about a teen who won a $20,000 settlement after he was allegedly suspended for school for saying illegal alien. This young man, 16 years old, was reportedly suspended for 3 days in 2024 by a North Carolina high school for using the term illegal alien to describe illegal aliens. In addition to getting this cash, which I guess will get him about, I don't know, what, like a week of college? Is that what it costs these days?
True.
He's also going to get an apology from the Davidson County Board of Education for mischaracterizing the student in a racially biased manner. As part of the proposed settlement, the school board will remove all references to racial bias in the teen's school record, offer a public apology from the board for mischaracterizing him in a racially biased way in his school records, and provide $20,000 in compensation. That's according to the Carolina Journal. Good for him. It's ridiculous. And I see these stories crop up from time to time, and I think, oh my God, if I was still in high school today, I'd be cleaning up, man. I'd be absolutely cleaning up. I'd be triggering people, getting in trouble, and just suing. Could be a full-time job. Wouldn't need to go to college.
I don't know. I kind of already do that now, except minus the trouble part. I don't really get in trouble, but like I do like stirring the pot a lot.
Well, you do.
That's such a that's probably a red flag. There you go. Another Gen Z thing. Probably a red flag of mine, but I love stirring the pot.
That ain't beige.
It's not beige or green. It's
or green.
Right.
Or green. Straight up red. You know what else is a red flag?
No. I tried to think of something, but I couldn't.
Oh, you know what is. The segment we only do when you're here, the most disturbing, demented, thought-provoking, but at the same time...
That's a green flag. That's positive.
Regretful segment in all of radio and podcasting. Remind me what it's called again.
Hey, guys, gather round.
It's Twit Talk time.
It's the segment of our program when we turn it over to Dan. He already thinks it's a show as it is, but for, 10-15 minutes uninterrupted, he plays sometimes funny, but often just kind of creepy clips from the interwebs, mostly from TikTok and Twitter. It's in the title, right?
Yeah.
And the primary goal is not to inform you. It's secondary if you're entertained. He's trying to wig me out here. He's trying to get a reaction out of yours, truly. And usually he succeeds by the end. So do your worst, Daniel.
I don't know. A lot of people, I sometimes get a lot of people who are like, that was a good TikTok, or that wasn't good, or what the hell was that? So sometimes I get mixed reactions, all right?
80% of Matt Rooney Show listeners love this segment. 20% hate it.
Right, and I will take that because that's a winning percentage. That's a passing grade. 80%, that's a B. We pass.
Yep.
Anyway, this
Elon's mythical 80, middle 80%. There it is. It's Twit Talk. That's the only thing they can all agree on.
Anyway, this girl has an idea of what we should bring back as a generation. And it seems to have gone away in recent years. So this is what her idea is. You being a divorce lawyer, could agree or disagree. I don't know, but this is what she has to say.
You want to know what I think the problem with today's society is? It's that no one just wants to make out anymore. No one just wants to make out anymore. Straight men these days will, like, kiss you twice and then start taking their shirt off. And it's like, no, I just want to make out.
Is that a thing?
Just wants to make out. Yeah.
Because you know, this is the generational difference. It's been a while since I've been on the market. I mentioned earlier about the celebrate my wedding anniversary, my seventh wedding anniversary. Actually, it's been 7 years. I that's never been my experience. Maybe it's just because I was great at making out too. That's also possible.
Is that what we're going with?
Yeah. No. Absolutely.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. It's not a big. I don't think it's a big thing anymore.
Okay.
I mean, right.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I remember doing it in middle school, going in the back of alleys, you know what I mean, after school.
Yeah, it's if you're just all business, I don't know. I think you're losing part of the experience.
Like going up to the top of the Ferris wheel and just going at it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big thing anymore, but she would rather bring that back than...
It doesn't surprise me because Gen Z, younger millennials, it's the instant gratification generation, right? Yeah. Like, I want everything instantaneously. I don't want commercials.
Yeah.
You know, making out is part of what you do on the path of love here, right? It's something you have to traverse even if you don't enjoy it. Man.
Yes.
You know who wouldn't appreciate this? Those talking cows. They spend a lot of time mooing at each other.
That's what I'm saying. Well, that
the art of seduction, man.
They're mooing as they're making out.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'm with her, by the way, that young lady.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. All right. So that's awesome.
You didn't expect me to have a serious opinion on this.
No, I
didn't.
That's
part of the reason why you're thrown by it.
I get it. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
I want you to take a guess as to what this guy likes doing because it's not obvious, and I just want to see if you know or you can pick out what he likes doing. Got it?
Yes.
One thing about me, I love fun. I just love having fun. And I love fun. I love having fun, man.
Can you figure it out what he loves doing?
If I had to guess, playing back the tape in my head, I think fun?
Wrong. He likes eating hoagies on his couch.
Oh, well. Isn't that synonymous with fun?
I guess so. But yeah, guy loves having fun. They're really, that's it. He just loves having fun.
Excellent.
Good
for him.
Earlier at the start of the show, I mentioned how Jersey drivers are the worst. However, this guy disagrees with that. You might agree with this guy as well, but I want to hear your opinion afterward.
Okay.
Hey, if you have a Pennsylvania license plate on the front of your car and on the back of your car, do me a favor. Go into your wallet, take your license out, cut it up, and don't ever drive again. You guys are the worst driver.
So true. You first, guys on the other side of the red. Look, I love you. Many of you are in the audience. You don't know how to drive.
There is one thing wrong with that. Pennsylvania does not have front license plates.
Oh, interesting. That's you're right about that.
We do not.
You're right about that.
We have the back, and that's about it. We don't have a front.
Yeah.
So,
well, you drive so terribly, it's hard to tell whether it's the front or the back of the car.
Well, not me.
That's his confusion.
Not me. I'm a great driver.
Yeah.
So some might say, I mean, I'm the one who drives Bella and I around all the time, you know?
Well, we'd have to ask Bella.
Okay. Well,
we'll have Bella back soon.
Don't believe me. That's fine.
After your next 3 month sojourn.
No, I'm good for the summer. I don't got
You're hanging out for the summer?
Yeah. There's not much going on at my other job in the summer.
Good.
Besides our vacation.
All right. Sounds good.
This guy is in his car, but he has a bit of an issue. He wants people to pick a problem. And I can't really elaborate because it's going to spoil it. But everyone should just pick a problem and stick with it and not have multiple. This is what I mean.
PSA, if your coworker tells you that she's vegan, lesbian, and celiac, don't respond with pick a struggle because apparently that's offensive. Got written about work today because I offended her. She felt that I was, disingenuous with my comment? Babes, I'm a comedian It's a joke. But also, truly pick a f-ing struggle. Vegan and a lesbian? That's a combo.
That's a combo.
You missed the end. You missed the end.
Bitches.
Well, I didn't need to hear that to guess that's how he ended it.
You did. You got.
I could have told you that.
Yeah. So
pick a struggle, Daniel. That's what I'm going to tell you the next time you're complaining.
Can't be celiac, vegan, and a lesbian. You got to pick one.
It does feel like a lot.
It does. That must be a fun life you live.
I mean, the cows are happy for it.
Yeah, there you go.
They can keep mooing happily away because you're not eating them.
This guy has enough of the tariffs. He's like, tariff this, tariff that. But there is one thing that you need to tariff, and this is what it is.
Oh my gosh, tariff this, tariff that. When is somebody going to tear up this ass? Oh my gosh, tariff this, tariff that. When is somebody going to tear up this ass?
Tariff this ass.
Look, the man knows what he wants.
Yeah, the man has his priorities straight.
He's got his priorities straight. So, yeah. I mean, who am I to judge?
Yeah.
As the late Pope Francis once said.
Last but not least, take a guess.
Does it rhyme with Eon?
It does. This time, I think this is an old clip, but it's still hilarious. He had Cat Williams on his show. And they were talking about ducks. And that's all I'm going to say.
Well, I mean, what else would people need to know to be intrigued?
I don't know, but that's all I'm going to say. Here's the Yvonne.
You a big pet owner, man? I've heard that you got some animals over there.
Yeah,
ducks. Like, I got, what? How many ducks do you have, Cat?
Between 19 and 21. It's beautiful because they're all black.
Oh, really?
Yeah, good. Yeah, yeah.
We need more of that. We need everybody.
Diversity in the duck world.
Oh, hell yeah, dog. I'm sick of seeing these fucking swans, bro. You know what I'm saying? These rich-ass, long-neck motherfuckers, bro.
No, we have geese, too.
But I'm just saying we need some fucking bangers in there, dog. Yeah. You know, we need some dark ducks in this bit. Bring up a couple of black ducks, man. I would love to see those right now. So that's a beautiful one right there. But no, get one of the bottom.
There we go.
Oh, there
that western
go.
Black
duck. That western There's black.
A, that's an all black duck. That's
hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking Mallard Luther King right there, bro. That thing dark as hell, dude. Sorry, bro.
You're going to make a great black guy. Mallard Luther King. That could be his name.
That could be his name.
Mallard Luther King. You got to represent in the black duck community.
Well, I guess someone needs to. Right? God bless America. What a big, beautiful place.
That's what I got for you in TwitTalk.
Well, what else could we take? I touched all the bases, my friend.
Yeah.
So we do here on the Matt Rooney Show. Well, I mean, we think about how much we covered tonight in 2 hours, right? It's ponderous, folks. It's a miracle. It's amazing, and we're happy to do it because we care about you, our 1210 WPHT audience. But that's it for tonight. Thank you as always for listening. Thank you to producer Dan. Thank you to everybody who participates in our program. Remember, find the podcast if you don't get to listen to us on Saturday nights. And until next time, stay safe, stay sane, and keep fighting for the greatest nation in God's creation. It's worth it. And if you're in New Jersey, get out and vote on Tuesday. This is the year we save New Jersey. Let's make it happen.